guess it's my turn. Good morning. Yeah, give Vicki a hand. Let her know we appreciate the tone of worship that that she works to help set for us here at Central Baptist Church. Hey, look around. Give somebody a wave, one that says, I am so glad that you are here today, and it is good to see you. And somebody said one time before, they said, well, when you do that, you can always look around and see somebody else and see somebody that's worse off than you. So that way, it should encourage your day. But we're glad to have you with us today at Central Baptist Church as we worship our Lord in spirit and in truth. If you're part of our online audience, be sure to say hello to our very own Dr. John Cazito. He is your voice. If you have any questions as part of the online audience, he can either answer, give you an answer, or get you an answer, one of the two. I had the privilege of watching last week from Indianapolis, Indiana, so it was good to be a part of my home church, even when I was out of the way and in another place doing another thing. So it was so good to have that opportunity as well. So anyway, I also want to say a happy Father's Day. We're going to recognize our fathers here in a little bit, but I wanted you to know that even in the push and shove and in the midst of things, that didn't get by me, so we're still on target for that. I do want to mention one thing before we go to the word to the Lord in a word of prayer. Donry Howerton is actually in the hospital. Roger had to take her to the emergency room night before last, but she has been taken to the hospital. I talked to Roger this morning, and he said that the word that they've got is that she is doing really, really well, so she could potentially get out of the hospital today, but he's thinking probably more like tomorrow. But at any rate, we want to keep Roger and Donry both in our prayers as Roger is on his way over there. When I talked to him this morning, he was on his way back over to Wesley Long Hospital to see Donry. So let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer as we begin our services today. Father, as we come to you now, again, we want to take this time and this moment to pause in the midst of everything that is taking place and going on to simply take a breath and relax in your presence. Father, we know that your Holy Spirit wants to speak to us today. Lord, I pray that as we take these moments and opportunities to gather around your word and to come together in like-mindedness concerning our Savior Jesus Christ, Lord, that you would just fill our hearts with joy, fill our hearts with who you are. And today, Father, we think about Miss Donry as she's in the hospital. I pray that your healing hand would be upon her. We're thankful for what we've already heard that you're doing in her life to bring her back to health. Lord, we pray for Roger as most husbands. He's anxious to see her get better. So, Lord, I just pray that you'll give him peace in his heart in the fact that you're going to take care of her. So, Lord, we just commend them into your hands and ask that you would take care of them in a way that is pleasing in your sight. And for today, Lord, as we come together, we honor you, we honor your word. And, Lord, we're going to honor dads today. So, Lord, may your word ring forth and clear in our hearts and in our minds. And, Lord, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning. Good morning. Please stand with me and turn to 43. This is my Father's world.
This is my Father's world, and to my listening ears, all nature sings and around me rings the music of the spheres.
Yeah.
Please turn to 447, Trust and Obey.
Thank you.
Amen. It is good to be back with you guys. There's a world of difference between Indiana and North Carolina. So I'm glad to be back in North Carolina. As the choir continues to make their way back in, I just wanted to remind you as well today that this actually ends our baby bottle campaign. You'll see some of them that are sitting down here on the offering table. Once again, what that is, that goes to the Pregnancy Network in Guilford County, and what those monies do is they allow for ultrasounds to be given to those young ladies that are considering abortion. The statistic is very high in the 90 percentile that those young ladies who actually have a chance to see this unborn child as a child in the 90 percentiles will decide not to have an abortion. So what these baby bottles and the change that you've collected are for, it goes into the pot there to assist and to help provide those ultrasounds for those ladies that may be considering aborting their children. So what a fantastic ministry. We thank you for participating in that. We will still take those bottles if you have them sometime this week and you forgot it today. You can bring it by the office. We will make sure that it gets there. But we usually do this between Mother's Day and Father's Day. And today being Father's Day, what kind of marks the end of our campaign. I want to say this just because you've heard me say it a lot of times, and you helped me with it. But God is good. And all the time. God is good. So it pleases me today to announce to you one of our friends, brothers, loved ones in our crowd. Today I call him Cancer-Free Fred. So God is good. Fred had his scan this past week. No signs of cancer. So praise be to God for that. We always want to make sure that that we lift up the Father when it comes down to that, because he's the one who provided that. He's God, and well, Dr. Pete is just used by God. He's the guy who helps bring that along, and you're right. We have a fantastic, a godly doctor in our presence that makes no bones about telling you who the healing agent really is. So we're grateful for that. We're grateful for Doc. We're grateful for Fred, and we're grateful for God's goodness in so many ways. So today we want to take this moment to say a happy Father's Day, you know, to our fathers that we have in our presence. And like always, we have something that we like to give you just in a way of showing you our appreciation to you. So if you're a dad in the room, would you please stand? And it doesn't matter whether you're our members or not. If you have the title of father, please stand. Blake and Jana have a little something they would like to give you on behalf of Central Baptist Church. And once you get your gift, you can feel free to sit back down. We don't want to keep you standing too long, except for Don. Maybe we'll keep Don standing up a little bit longer than normal. He's looking for his prize. I see him. He's like, bring it over here. That's my man. But dads, we love you. We appreciate all that you do, and we want to say a special thank you on behalf of Central Baptist Church. Don't forget Bill. Bill is right square in the middle there. Yeah, Blake liable to throw one to you. You got Bill right there in the middle, and Jeff over on the side. Good to see, you know, all these dads here today. Fatherhood is something that is becoming even more and more challenging as the days go by. Yeah, I guess I am a dad. So. Thank you, bud. Love you too. Father's Day is one of those things that is becoming even more and more challenging as the days go by. But let's take just a moment to recognize and say a special thank you to our dads that are in our presence today. It means a lot, dads, that you chose to be here when there are so many other places that you could be right now. We thank you for your testimony. We thank you for your example that you lead in the lives of not only your children, but the children who are growing up that are watching you. I know I grew up in a day and an age, and maybe it's different now. I think it's a lot different, but we used to spend a lot of time in each other's homes. Y'all remember that? You know, when as a parent, how many of you all remember having more kids than your own in your house? Yeah, they were always there. How many of you remember being one of those kids that was in somebody else's house? How many of you remember that they would treat you just like yours and they would tune you up if you needed tuned up as well? There you go. You my people. But the long and the short of it is a lot of things have changed in life. But the one thing that remains constant is the fact that God never changes. You know, and when we think about Father's Day, there are a couple of passages of Scripture that I want to share with you today. But Father's Day is a special day. It's a time to honor and to appreciate fathers and the roles that they had in our lives. Now, as a Baptist, we believe that fatherhood is a God-ordained role in the hearts and lives of those that are blessed to be able to be called father. So when we think about this, we think about the roles, we think about the great responsibility that is carried by being a father, but there's also blessings that go along the way. In today's scriptures that we're going to look at, we're going to explore what the Bible says about fatherhood and how it applies to our lives daily. I can tell you that one of the major crises in the church in the world, particularly America, but in the world today, is that men need to step up and be the leaders of their homes. Men need to step up and be leaders within their churches. And people sit back all the time. I've just gotten back from the Southern Baptist Convention. We have seen different denominations that you see women who are taking leadership roles in the church. And a lot of the reason, if you ask them, is they'll say simply because the men won't do it. Folks, that's a poor testimony for us in our society today, but yet the truth remains, and it remains to be a fact of the matter. Now, that's not to say that there are not places that women have to be able to serve the Lord. There are tons of places, and I'll probably address that here before the end of the service today based on something or a vote that took place at the convention, but we want to discuss that in its time. But I will say this, that when we look at the scriptures, if you have your Bible, go ahead and turn with me, if you would, to the book of Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. These are verses that are probably not foreign to you by any stretch of the imagination. These are verses that we have probably read 1,000 times, but how many times have we read something and yet we have difficulty applying it to, in, and for our lives? So, Ephesians chapter 6, beginning with verse 1, it addresses the circumstance and the situation of parents as well as their children. Ephesians 6, beginning with verse 1, says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. And you, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord." Verse 5, "Bond servants, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in sincerity of heart as to Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as bond servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart." Let's pray together. Father, as we come to you today, Lord, we pray that you would speak to our hearts in a very, very special way. Lord, I pray that that all that we say and do may truly honor, glorify, and magnify you. Today, Lord, we come to honor fathers, but Lord, we're thankful for our Heavenly Father and the relationship that you have with us that you modeled in the way that you would want us to serve as earthly fathers. So, Father, today I pray that you will touch our hearts and our lives, Lord, that you would reach that secret place and speak to us today. Lord, use me as your messenger for these moments, that you truly would be the one that's high and lifted up. And Lord, we thank you for the time that we have, and we pray this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, when we start off with this, one of the big commands, first of all, is to children. It tells children to obey their parents. So according to verse 1, what does it mean to obey our parents? Now, that sounds simple, doesn't it? Yeah. Why is it that people have such a hard time with that today? I saw a video this past week. I believe it was my sister that sent it, and it said, this is what it was like in the 1980s when you disobeyed your parents, and then what you saw was this body flying across the living room and crashing into the wall. And that was kind of what it was like back in those days. Now, some would say, well, did you follow out of reverence or out of fear? And I will tell you that the answer to that question is both. You know, a little bit of fear will keep you out of a lot of trouble. Amen? Yeah, but reverence is still a good thing. So what does it mean to honor our parents? You know, to obey our parents means to follow their instructions and guidance in a respectful and willing manner. Now, I'm going to give that to you again because I think it speaks volumes, particularly in our society. What does it mean? To obey our parents means to follow their instructions and guidance in a respectful and willing manner. Now, I know that there are probably some children in your life, and I'm being a little transparent here, that I have seen in public places before, and the way that the children are treating their parents, I would like to just slap the taste right out of their mouth. You been there? I'm like, no, that wouldn't have happened that way. I'm about ready to drag that one behind the dumpster for you. But yet, folks, there needs to be, you need to take your place as a parent. And I want to say this, it is okay to be a friend to your child, but you are first a parent. You need to first stand up. You need to be at times the bad guy. Sometimes you need to be the one that says, this is the way it is. Sometimes you need to be the one that says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And like I was told at times before, when you get your own place, you can do it your way. But when you're in my place, you'll do it my way. I think some of our young people in today's society need to hear that, don't you? And some of our parents need to stand up. You know, you need to be a parent first. I promise you, if you're a parent first, they'll be your friend later. I promise you that. Be the mom and dad that God called you to be. You know, I've said before, and people will disagree with me, and if you do, that's okay. I said I had a drug problem when I was young. I was drugged to Sunday school. I was drugged to church on Sunday morning. I was drugged to church on Sunday night. I was drugged to church on Wednesday. I was drugged to VBS. I was drugged to all these places. At times I didn't want to. I've shared with you before that one of my biggest troublesome times as a child was on Sunday night when I saw that little ferry go around the Walt Disney Castle. Because Old Yeller was getting ready to come on, and I never saw Old Yeller die. I didn't cry when he died because I never saw it. You know why? Because while everybody else was watching Old Yeller die, Roy was in church. I didn't like that back then. But I wouldn't trade it for anything now because I can rent Old Yeller anytime I want to. But I can't get those times back when the rule of the house was, this is where you'll go. This is where you will be, and it is not a request. It's not a suggestion. You'll get in the car, and you'll go. And like I said, I know that there are going to be people who will disagree with me in that concept, but that's okay. But I can tell you that years later, guess where I am on Sundays? I'm right here in the house of the Lord. I'm saved. I understand how God takes care of me. And I can't tell you the number of people who came up later and said, you know what, I wish I'd have been more of a parent when my children were younger. Because I can tell you right now, I can't do anything about it. Well, you know what? You can. You can go tell them how wrong you were about what you did to start with and how important it is. And folks, let me give you something that's even more important. Parents, let me tell you, if it's not important to you, you've heard this 1,000 times. But if it's not important to you, it will not be important to your children. If godliness and contentment is not important to you, it is not important to your children. If being in church and being discipled and learning about the Lord is not a priority in your life, it will not be a priority in the life of your children. Are you hearing me? I've been preaching this for 32 years. And at times it's fallen on deaf ears until later on when people come back and say, you know what, you are absolutely right about that. I don't understand why my children don't want to have anything to do with anything that has anything to do with godliness. And I'm like, well, you know what? I'm not Jim Dobson with Focus on the Family, but I'll take a shot at this one. It wasn't important enough to you, so therefore it's not important to them. Obeying our parents means to follow their instructions, to follow their guidelines in a respectful and a willing manner. I wasn't always willing, but then the good Lord got a hold of my heart. By the way, when God called me to preach, I wasn't sitting in a Sunday morning service. I wasn't even sitting in the church. You see, Dad had come in late from work. He'd been working, and a lot of times what we would do is we would go down and we would sneak in the back door. It'd be kind of like going in back here behind where the choir practices. And there was an old couch back there. I can still remember, big wide arms and green, you know, typical church green. And he would open the door to the baptistry so you could hear what was going on. And that was the Sunday evening that the Lord called me to preach. In fact, when I surrendered to the call, I didn't go out and go through the baptistry, but I had to go out the building and I had to go around the church, and I came in the front doors of the church to respond to that invitation. And that was I was 15 years old at the time. Now I'm 58 now. You can do the math. That's a lot of years. I'm not a math guy. But that happened on a Sunday night because we were in church. It happened because my dad was willing to forego the fact that he was tired and hadn't had anything to eat yet to make sure that we were there in the presence of the preaching of God's word so that God could do some incredible things, and here we are. Never underestimate those moments. Never underestimate those times. You see, folks, when we talk about children being obedient to their parents, obedience is a commandment from God for children toward their parents. And yet we hear people all the time, well, I just can't do anything with them. Now, I've said this. Again, people will disagree with me, but that's okay. Remember what I said. The older you get, the less you care about that. There's a bunch of people that do need the Board of Education applied to the seat of their learning. Sometimes respect is commanded, and sometimes respect is demanded, and then it becomes earned. How do we do this? As children, children should strive to honor their parents. Why? Because when you do so, it is something that is pleasing to God. That's what God wants. What is that? What did that verse say? It said, children. Notice what it started. It didn't start off talking about fathers. It started off in verse 1 saying, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. That makes the job easy. When you have obedient children, it makes the job easy. Amen? And sometimes you just have to set the pace. Sometimes you just have to set the course. Sometimes you have to start a little hard so they understand your intentions. But listen, don't get taken advantage of. Let me say one thing to dads today. Dads, you are in charge of your family. Your children are not in charge of you. Did y'all hear that? Now, as much as I hate to have to say that, that is something that needs to be said in our society today. Everybody in this room probably knows somebody that the children run their family. Now, I know that there's times when, yeah, you kind of have to. Yeah, I mean, when they start the school schedule dictates when you can go, when you can come, when you can do, and those sort of things. But you know what? If my son ever walked in and said, this is the way it's going to be, Dad, I'd be like, what? Did you hit your head on something when you came in this house? Or if I went in and said, this is the way it's going to go, this is the way it's going to roll. Do you think that he agreed 100% of the time with me over his childhood? No. But you know what I always told him? I will win. I will win. And I always did. And I'm thankful to God that I have a son today that doesn't have to be in church on Sunday morning. He can do whatever he wants to. But he chooses to be here. He chooses to work a split shift when he has to work on weekends on Sunday so he can go into work in the morning and be here for church, then go back to work in the evening and yet still have opportunity to spend time with family and friends on Saturday. I'm grateful for that. He hasn't caused me a moment's trouble, not one single bit. And for that, I am eternally thankful. So when does that help out with? It helps out with a promise of long life. You know, what is the promise that is associated with obedience to parents? Yeah, the promise is that we may live long on the earth. Look at it in the scriptures. Look at verse 2. Look at what it says. It says, honor your father and mother, this is, which is the first commandment with promise. And then what does it say after that? Verse 3, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. I didn't make this up. You can read it for yourself, can't you? Yeah, that's one thing. Now, people sit back and say, oh, so if I'm obedient, that means I'm going to live to 100? I didn't say that either. There's a lot of other things that need to be taken into consideration. The promise is that we may live long on the earth. Yeah, God rewards those who obey his commandments, including honoring our parents. Plain and simple. Now, I know that there are going to be some people today that are at odds with their parents. There may be some people today that are going to be watching this broadcast that have a problem with their parents. They got mad at them. They haven't spoken in years and years and years. And I'm going to tell you right now, you need to swallow your pride. You need to suck it up. And you need to get a hold of your daddy today. And you need to make amends. But you don't know what he did. I don't care what he did. You be the bigger person. You be the one who says, I'm going to honor what God has to say, and I'm going to love my dad, and I'm going to forgive him from whatever it may have been that was done. I want to let it go. I have said this to you over the past 6 months. When God called my dad home, this is my first Father's Day without my earthly father. When God called him home, there was no ought between us. There was no problem. There was none of this setting back saying, I wish I would have done this. I wish I would have said that. I wish. No. Now, I hurt because he's not with me now. But Lord of mercy, he's in heaven. What more can anybody want? Yeah, I'm going to go see him again shortly. I didn't tell him goodbye last December. I said, I'll see you later. But you see, the legacy that he instilled in me is what needs to walk forward today. God rewards those who obey his commandments, including and especially honoring your mom and dad. Make it right with your dad today. I promise you that it will take a load off of your shoulders. I promise, and you know what, I've actually had people come and say to me, they said, well, you know, I hear what you're saying, but my dad is no longer with us now, and I wish I would have done these things. I wish I would have forgiven. I wish I would have said. And you know what my response to that is? There is no statute of limitation on forgiveness. Even if your daddy is gone on to be with the Lord, you still need to forgive. You still need to cut that loose that you might be free. That you might be obedient to what it is that the Master is saying to you. Let's honor and obey our parents, not just for the promise of long life, but also out of love and reverence for our Father. And see, fathers also are providers and protectors of us. According to verse 4, what are fathers called to do? Fathers are called to provide and to protect for their children. God has given fathers the important role of providing and protecting their families. And this is a day and age when that is called upon more so than you will ever know. To provide, meaning to provide the necessary things, food on the table, shoes on the feet, and to protect, to watch out for the world. The world is trying to get our children. Do you hear me? Do you understand me? I'm watching every day as ours go off to college and they come back and they're just a mess. They're a complete mess. They've been indoctrinated by the colleges and universities and not in godly manners, not in godly ways. Dads, you have an important role. You have a responsibility. When that school says this is the way it is, it's time for you to stand in the principal's office and say, not in my house. Don't send mom to do it, dad. Take that time off from work. I promise you're a lot more intimidating factor than mama is. unless the child's been hurt. Then mama might go through somebody. But you walk in and you say, this is not smut or garbage that's coming into my household. And I will promise you, they'll back down. They'll find a way to accommodate you. I've shared before what happened. Blake was going to be a senior in high school, and oh, this is required reading. I said, it's not going to be required reading in our house. And see, here's another thing. You have to know what's in that before you can understand what's taking place. Mom and dad, you need to get involved in your children's lives. You need to understand what is going on there, because I will promise you, Satan is as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour, and he is after your children. And if you don't know, how many parents, I didn't know that that's what that book was. Well, you got to look at it. You got to read it. You got to surf through it. You got to ask people. You got to talk to people. I shared with you before, I went down there and said, my son's not reading this book. Required reading by you is not required reading in my family. And I win. Plain and simple. Before I could get the words out, oh, well, there's an alternative book. I said, well, then why didn't you say that to start with? Like I said, I've gotten a little cantankerous in my age. And I said, so you don't believe that? Actually, what I said was, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I want a volunteer to come to this school every morning, and I want you to have all the kids in the auditorium, and I want to read this book. You know why I did that? Because there's no way they would want that book read in public with the language and everything else. I said, yeah, I get it. Because I said, you would suspend a child for saying what this book has to say. And yet you're telling them that it's mandatory reading. He said, no, he said, we can't read that book out loud. I said, well, it's not going to be read in private either. Oh, here's the alternative to it. Now, let me tell you what's sad. I told the other parents about that conversation, said there's an alternative book. The ones that were sitting back saying, oh, I don't want my kid reading that either. Not one single one of them went to the principal and said, I want the alternative book. Not one. Not one. Folks, it's time for us to stand up and be the protector of our children. Like I said, we don't have any trouble. We will protect them when it comes down to a physical manner, and as so you should. If I have to come visit you in jail because you protected your child, call me. I'll be there. But we need to protect them from the things that we don't see, the spiritual things, the things that are trying to creep in. Dads, God's given you an important role as provider as well as protector of your family. This shows that fatherhood is a high and a noble calling of God. And by the way, if you don't think so, I can tell you people, I can name them today, that would give anything in this world to have the title of father. There are those today that are having a tough time with Father's Day because God has not blessed a couple with children of their own. There are people that I know today that have extended that love out, and they have adopted and they love those children just like their own. It doesn't make them any less by any stretch of the imagination, but there are people today who would love to have the title of father that cannot. And we need to remember them today, because today is a hard day. Today is a tough day because they want more than anything. And then they see people who could care less about their children. How many times have they said to me, yeah, here's one that doesn't even care whatsoever about their child. Their child's out running the streets at night and not even old enough to drive an automobile and not being raised in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And they sit back and say, preacher, what's wrong with me? Why will God not bless me with children? And one of the toughest things in the world to say is, I don't know. I don't know the answer to that question. But I know God's got a plan and a reason and a purpose. As fathers, let us strive to fulfill the roles with love, sacrifice, and godly guidance for our families. If you're not, somebody else in this world is going to. And fathers, verse 4 also shares with us that you are a model for your children. What does it mean for fathers not to provoke their children to anger? It means not using harsh or unfair treatment toward their children, being fair. I've heard people talk before about a boss or somebody, and they said, you know what, I didn't always like the decisions they made, but they were fair. Y'all remember that? You've had somebody in your life that way. You didn't necessarily like what it was that they said or did or how they did something, but they were fair. I love that word, fair. Fathers have a powerful influence on their children, and their actions can either build them up or tear them down. I am tired of seeing children being torn down. Tired of it. When parents sit back and tell somebody they're no good, when somebody says, you can't do this or you can't do that, I'm not saying not to be real with them, but there are better ways that you can encourage your children. Guarantee you, I see teachers in this room. I guarantee you, you saw this from parents and you just wanted to, yeah. And maybe even you had those chats and said, hey, a little encouragement would go a long way for your child. How about stop telling them what all they can't do and start telling them about the things they can do? I still remember back several years ago, I mean, it hadn't been that long ago, I took the Clifton Strengths Finder. And when I looked at it, I said, I thought this was a strengths inventory, not a weakness inventory. And the guy from Gallup University said this. He said, why did you just say that? I said, well, I'm looking at my number one. And it was called Woo, which means winning others over. You know what that means? That means if there's 200 people in a room, I want to talk to 200 people. And y'all are going, no. It means I'm that kind of outgoing, extroverted kind of person. And he said, so why do you say that that's a weakness? I said, because we had a grade when I was growing up in elementary school called deportment. Does anybody remember that? Deportment. You know what that basically meant? That was a fancy word for talking about your behavior, was what it was. I never, ever could get above a D, and D was not dandy. I always got D's in deportment. And you know what the teacher always said? The teacher always said, your mouth is getting you in trouble. You talk too much. Where are my people out there? You talk too much. You're not paying attention here or whatever. So I grew up my whole life thinking that that was one of my biggest downfalls and biggest weaknesses. And the guy from Gallup was showing me this. And he said, yeah. He said, you've always been told that. But he said, that's your greatest strength. He said, what your teacher should have done was put you with the new kid that was coming into school. Because you would have him introduced to everybody. They should have leveraged your strength. Because all of us have strengths. And they're in different areas. And man, it drives me nuts to see somebody down. Well, you can't do that. Don't even try that. You're useless. You don't have what it takes. You're not leadership material. I have watched people overcome hurdles because they worked hard for it and because they were encouraged. It is time to encourage our kids. Don't tear them down. How many times you see that? Man, I can't go to Little League ball games anymore because I'm going to kill somebody. You hear people yelling at kids and people, oh, it's athletics. No, I don't care. I don't care what you say in that regard. I'm not saying, listen, I know it's all right for your coach to be a little bit hard on your kids. They need that. That helps them along the way. But not other parents downing other children along the way. And coaches need to do this stuff with a proper balance. As dads, we must be mindful that our words and our actions towards our children, they set an example. And we don't need to be discouraging them or provoking them. Let us strive to lead a good example and to be a positive influence in the lives of our children. Finally, today, I want to share with you that fatherhood is the example that God gave us. How does a relationship between earthly fathers and children reflect the relationship between God and his children? Well, the relationship between earthly fathers and children is a reflection of the relationship between God and his children. God is our ultimate father, and he possesses all of the qualities of a perfect father: love, provision, protection, guidance. And by understanding and experiencing a good relationship with our earthly father, we can better appreciate and understand our relationship with our heavenly father. So let us give thanks to God for the gifts of our earthly fathers and strive to imitate the perfect fatherhood of God in our own roles as fathers. I think about that so many times, and I've tried to share before with people about the love that God has for them, particularly when they're doubting salvation and doubting how God could love them. And they say, I've messed up. There's no way God could want me into his heaven. And I said, look, have you trusted in Jesus? Oh, I have, but I know God doesn't want me anymore and all that. And I said, wait a minute, hang on a second. I said, let me give you a good example. I said, and most of these people I know were good fathers. They loved their children. I said, let's talk about your child right now. I said, could your child do anything on this planet to make you not love them? And they said, absolutely not. I said, what if they, God forbid, came in and said to you, you know what? I don't ever want to see you again. I don't ever want to speak to you again. I'm cutting you out of my life. I said, does that make them any less your child? And they said, no. I said, why? I said, it's because your DNA runs within their veins. You can't separate that. And I said, when you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, godly DNA now runs in your veins. And there is nothing that you can do to separate you from the love of God or his reach. And people sit back and say, I hadn't really thought about it that way. I've shared with you before about the experience when God forgives, it's a perfect forgiveness. You know, your son breaks the next door neighbor's window, comes in crying, and you know, you tell him, hey, okay, son, thank you for telling me. I'm glad I didn't have to see it on somebody's security cam or the neighbor coming over here. I'll go over and we'll make it right. Now, son, you're not going to get an allowance until it gets paid for. See, there's consequences as well. And then you take care of it, and then Junior comes in an hour later crying again. What's the matter? I broke a window. Well, we already talked about that. I've already got it squared away. Hour later, I messed up. Yeah, you messed up. We've already talked about that. Let it go. Let it go. You can understand it from that side, but why do we have so much trouble understanding it from the side of the child? When God forgives you, his forgiveness is perfect. Let it go. Don't let Satan keep you captive for things God's already forgiven you of. Think about it for a moment. God as your father, he loves you. He doesn't want to do anything to hurt you. And sometimes we have to tell our children things that they don't like, don't we? You go out there and you holler at Junior because he's out there riding his bicycle in the busiest road in the county. Hey, get yourself up here. But you just don't want me to have fun, Dad. The pavement's so much smoother out there on the main highway. It's a lot easier to ride. It's easier to pedal. It's flat. And they'll give you every reason why it's okay for them to ride on the highway. And you're going to give them one reason why it's not. Actually, two. One reason is because it's the busiest highway and they could get killed. But what is the second one that kids don't like to hear? Why can't I ride my bicycle in the road? Because I said so. I hated that. Oh. I hated that. How many of y'all got that answer before? Loved it, didn't you? No. Why can't I do it? Because I said so. And you're going to respect who I am. And you're going to respect what I tell you. Later on, you realize after the neighbor got mashed by a tractor trailer truck for riding in the highway, why it's not a good idea to do it. And then remember, the older you get, the smarter your parents are. Oh, now I understand what was going on. Sure. On this Father's Day, let's honor and appreciate our earthly fathers, as well as give thanks to our Heavenly Father for His perfect love and for His guidance. Let us also be reminded of the important role of fatherhood in God's plan and strive to fulfill it with love and obedience and godliness. Take time to honor and appreciate your father and thank God for the gift of fatherhood. If God has blessed you to be able to have that title of father, you are indeed blessed. And also reflect on how you can be a better father or father figure to those in your life. I know people who at times didn't have a father when they were growing up, but they looked to somebody as a father figure. And that father figure was important to them. That father figure irritated them at times. Now understand something. I got to tell you this. There's a balance here. You have to understand there's a balance. And the balance is this. The balance is you be a good father, dad, but don't provoke your children to anger. You can have a conversation. You can disagree. Dad wins. Dad will listen to you. But there may be some things that you don't know that dad knows. I guarantee you there's some things you don't know that dad knows. I don't think dads are just out there trying to be difficult to their children. I think you want your children to flourish. I think you want your children to have the best. And even when you don't understand, sometimes you have to say, well, you know, I don't like it. I told you about Disney. I didn't like it. Because every Monday, guess what the topic of conversation at elementary school was about? Every Monday, it was about what happened on the wonderful world of Disney. And I never could get in the conversation. Because people would sit back and say, what would you think about when Old Yeller died? I'm like, Old Yeller? Who's Old Yeller? And they looked at me like I had three heads. You didn't watch Disney last night? No. How come you didn't watch Disney last night? Because I was at church. Church? You go to church? Yeah. Man, something wrong with you, boy. You all right in a lot of places, but you ain't right here. You for a while, I mean, that irritated me for a while. But you know, hindsight's 20/20 vision, isn't it? Some of them same people that thought I was crazy are the same people that will pick up the phone and call me today when their life is in the vortex of the toilet. Dad, you got a tremendous responsibility, and God will help you through it. I love watching what you guys have done. That doesn't mean we're perfect. We make mistakes, don't we, dads? Can't say everything's been perfect by any stretch of the imagination. We don't always get it right, but we always have the right heart. And when we don't, then we apologize. Say, you know what? Maybe I was wrong on that one. But can we respect? Do your children respect you as provider and as protector? I want to finally say this. Be, first of all, a parent. Then you can be friends. Because if you be a parent to start with, they will be your friend later in life. I promise. I promise. To our young people that may be watching, honor what your mom and dad have to say, even if you don't agree with it. Even if you don't agree with it. Honor them for being your dad, your mom. Honor them for trying to do what is best and what is right. Sometimes you have to calm them down. That's okay. It's because they love you. And they want what's best for you. Let's not provoke our children to wrath. Let's love them. Let's stand for them. And if you need somebody to go with you, I'll go with you. I don't mind irritating people nowadays. particularly when it comes to a godly thing. Yeah, I'll go with you to school. I'll go with you wherever. I'm just getting to the point where I love a good old fight for the Savior. I'll say, this is an ungodly buck. And I know what somebody will say. Somebody will say, you sound like that preacher on Footloose. Maybe, maybe not. But I'm going to ask you this question. First of all, have you trusted Jesus? Brad, you guys come on up. We're getting ready to take our place to have our time of invitation. Have you trusted Christ? Listen, I'm telling you, there are so many things that not only are rough, they're almost impossible, but trying to parent without Jesus is an impossibility. You can't do it. I want you to picture for just a moment all of the demonic forces on this side of glory that are trying to bring your children into compliance with who they are, and they're winning every day. Somebody's got to stand in the gap for them. Will you be that person? Will you be the person that says, I understand what's going on in the lives of my sons and my daughters, and as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I've had people say, well, you know, that's just really not my personality. Well, you know what? Change your personality a little bit. You can be cool. You can be righteous. You can be all these other things and still be a good, godly father. You can. I promise. You can still be a protector. You can still be a provider. You can still stand for them and be a bona fide, born-again Jesus person. Christianity doesn't mean weakness. In fact, it means strength. When you're a Christian dad, you are far stronger than a worldly dad because you've had to take some stands even with your family. When you have to answer for those stands that you take on the other side of glory, will you be hanging your head or will you keep your head held high? That's where it's going to matter. Have you trusted Jesus? Without him, you can do nothing. If not, by the way, it's not what Roy's asking. What's the Holy Spirit putting in your heart? If he's putting in your heart that you need to trust him, then simply stop what you're doing where you are. You can bow your head and say, Lord, today I understand that I'm a sinner and I need a Savior, and Jesus is him. Lord, forgive my sin, save my soul, and help me live for you in Jesus' name. Now, I promise you, that's not the end of it. That's not just checking your boxes. That's just the beginning of a relationship. There's more. Not more that you need to do to realize salvation, but there's more to it than that. It's a relationship. It's not something you do. It's who you know. I'd love to talk to you. Listen, if you're part of our online audience, let Dr. Cazito know, and he'll get me in touch with you. If you're here, I'm going to simply ask you, hey, let me know. We're here to celebrate. This is family. It's what you do in a family, right? It's the way we roll. Dad, you got a tremendous responsibility. Don't shirk that responsibility. The world's telling you not to do it today, and they're grabbing our kids left and right. I'm tired of that. I'm tired of it. We need to hold on to our kids. We need to not just let them go. We need to walk with them. That when the stuff hits the fan, they don't have to look behind us. They can look beside them and see that we're there with them. I look around and I see good teachers. I'm surprised Judy didn't go upside somebody's head probably at times with some of the parents and Madeline and Katie and all these folks, that their kid just needs some encouragement. They just need to hear a kind word from their mom and dad. You can do it. I'll help you. You can do this. Not, well, you're worthless. I always figured you couldn't do it. You're not going to amount to anything. Those words sting. Stop it. And start encouraging them. Because they are fearfully and wonderfully made, and God has great plans for them. Let me get back off my soapbox a minute. Maybe you're here today and the good Lord has said to you, hey, there's some things that need to be adjusted in your life. Now's the time to do that. Don't wait. Don't look back. Just say, Lord, I'm going to be obedient. That's the first step, is being obedient to what you've called me to do. And that's what I'm going to do today. I'm going to reach out to you, Father, and I'm going to ask for your help and your guidance, because that's what I need more than anything. What is it that he has put on your heart? If you need me, I'm here. The old altar's here just like always. Whatever needs to be done, you do business with God, that when you leave this place, it is truly well with your soul. Would you stand with me as we sing our invitation hymn, number 320, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. Your heads are bowed, as your eyes are closed, as you do that final business with the Father, don't let his convictions slip away from you at this moment. You deal with it right now. Don't put it off. Don't procrastinate it. It does matter. As you continue to seek the Lord's face, I'm going to ask our ushers if they would make their way down as we prepare to receive the Lord's tithe and our offering to him. Father, you're so good to us, and you provide on so many levels that we don't even imagine. Lord, we thank you for provision that you have given us, for the food on the table, the roof over our head, and the shoes on our feet. Help us, Father, as we come to this time of worship, when we give back to you that little bit that you've asked us for, that we might honor and glorify you. Help us to be faithful in doing so. Lord, help us to be trusted with what you've given us, that you might eventually trust us with more. And Lord, we do ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Vicky. Just a couple things, and then we will get you on out of here. Birthdays and anniversaries that we have for this week. If you get a chance and you see Grayson Bailiff, he's got a birthday that is coming up on Wednesday. And then our very own Eddie Pegg has one coming up on Saturday. So be sure to harass him a little bit. I know Eddie takes money. He likes cash. Yeah, he doesn't take Venmo or anything, but he'll take a check or cash. So be sure to wish Eddie a happy birthday. And then anniversaries today, Lisa and Kirk Gross are celebrating an anniversary. So when you get a chance, be sure to congratulate them on their time together as well. Just a few things that we need to know. There won't be any men's D-Life classes until after Labor Day. We're kind of hitting into that summer schedule, and everybody's got, we're all going different directions, so we're not here at the same time. So we will resume after Labor Day with our D-Life group. That is Steve's group as well as mine. So I just want to make sure that everybody understands that. No choir practice tonight. What about band practice? Y'all are practicing. Band practice is tonight at 7. I know they're preparing for the 4th of July concert, so there will be band practice tonight at 7. Okay, 7 o'clock. If that's wrong, Jeff was just giving me the nod. So Jeff will be here to play, and it'll all be right with the world. So band rehearsal tonight, 7 o'clock. That's going to be in the gym, right? Y'all are going to be over in the gym. So kind of getting that dress rehearsal thing going on. Wednesday, don't forget, 10 a.m., the Men's Breakfast Fellowship at the Olympic in Colfax. There is also, if this is still correct, there is a finance committee meeting on Thursday at 4 p.m. Is that correct? Okay. Don't forget that. If you're on the finance team, there is a meeting at 4 o'clock p.m. This coming Thursday. The ladies' event that was scheduled for... This coming Saturday. Okay, that has been canceled, right? No ladies' event this Saturday, okay? Just make sure I'm getting the right thing. I don't want to cancel something that's not supposed to be canceled. So that's not going to be happening this Saturday. But next Sunday, we do have communion, just as a reminder. And there also will be our quarterly business meeting, which will take place right after the 12 o'clock, or right around 12 o'clock, or shortly thereafter. So right after the service. So those two things will be going next week. Also, Camp Carefree Week is June the 30th through July the 5th. That's when we'll be serving at Camp Carefree. You can see Pastor David for more information. You just won't see him this week because he's on vacation. So you might want to call him if you need some information, but there are others that can help you with that. there is also a Tuesday Bible study that's usually at Roger and Don Rees. That might be a little bit, it's good to go for this week. Okay, all right. So at this point, it is on for this week. If you have any questions about that, you can see Paul Johansson or Pastor David, except not this week. Pastor David's on vacation. You can talk to Paul. But at any rate, that's 12 to 1, teaching out of the book of Daniel. Also, the 2024 Women's Retreat is October the 10th through the 13th at Ocean Isle. Am I correct? Yes. Okay, they have three openings left, and the deposit is due by when? June the 30th. You need some money. You need to put a little skin in the game, okay? So you can see Mari or Marcia, and they can get you squared away on that. And like I say, there's always tons of fun and learning that guys will not know about. So that's the way she goes. At any rate, be sure to see Marcia or Mari with that one. Remember, a lot of things that are taking place, a lot of things that are going on in our church. So please, if you need to have a meeting or reserve a room for a meeting or something, please let us know. That's going to be something that is very critical. Also, a reminder, the baby bottle ministry, we're technically finishing that up today, but if you still have one, you can bring it. We will make sure that that gets in. If you have them here today, you can put them on the table up here at the communion table, and we'll make sure that they get placed with the other ones for when the time the trip is ready to be made over and hand those things in. I'm sure there's something else that I'm completely forgetting. Let me do this. I'm going to ask you to do something for me. I am going to go ahead and have a closing prayer But give me just a minute for us to go off the air. I just want to mention one item of business that was from the convention that I think is just pressing. It will be very brief. So let me go ahead and close this in a word of prayer, and then Tim or John, let me know when we're clear from the broadcast. Let's pray together. Father, you're good to us. Again, we thank you. Help us today as we honor our dads to take the example, to follow the example of our Heavenly Father, that we might truly be a good earthly father. Strengthen us, Father, in all that we do, and help us, Father, if we're heading in the wrong direction. Give us grace and strength to turn things in the right direction only through your help. So give us a great week, Father, and we pray for those that are around us. May today be a great day simply because it is the day that you have made, and we're going to rejoice and be glad in it. So bless us as we go from here, as we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. If you give me just a second, they'll let me know when we're clear of the broadcast.